This is Owen Thompson with the Local Journalism Initiative. This interview is with Mai Nguyen. She is a Canadian journalist and Toronto Metropolitan University alumni who is transitioning from the world of nonfiction to fiction with her debut novel, Sunshine Nails. Nguyen has been working in the world of journalism for over a decade. For the last 4 years, while working, she has been working on this novel off and on. Nguyen's novel follows a Vietnamese family in Toronto that owns a nail salon as a more modern salon moves in down the street following the release of a New York Times nail salon expose. It follows the struggles of this family as they try to deal with sudden competition and the reputational hit the article gave to honest nail salons. She originally wanted to tell this story through a journalistic lens, but was unable to for a compound of reasons she touches on in the interview. With this novel, she hopes to help readers explore the complex world of the Vietnamese nail salon industry in an authentic and interesting way.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Mai Nguyen. I am the author of Sunshine Nails, which is coming out July 4th. It's a book set in Toronto, and it's about a Vietnamese-Canadian family that runs a no-frills nail salon that's under threat of being shut down when a new big competitor moves in down the street.
So this is your first published novel as a novelist and author. You are a TMU grad from the journalism program. So what got you into writing?
Yeah, a lot of people are curious as to how I transitioned from nonfiction writing to fiction writing. I started off as a journalist. I worked as a freelance journalist for many years, writing, business articles, travel articles, lifestyle articles for like The Star, Globe and Mail, Canadian Business Magazine. I think there was a part of me that always wanted to explore my personal life. My parents run a nail salon. My friend's parents run a nail salon. My cousin's parents run a nail salon. So it was always something I was very curious about. And I felt like it was hard to tell the story through a journalistic lens. You always have to find the right people to talk to. You have to find the right sources, the right platform and publication that is willing to tell that story. And it was just getting hard to find a place to sell that story. And it's just so intricate that I figured, why don't I just write my own story, fictionalize all these characters, fictionalize their problems, and make it my own. And so, yeah, I decided to sort of fictionalize it and turn it into a full-fledged book, which I think turned out to be a lot more fun when when you talk to sources. There's only so much they're willing to divulge about their personal life, the drama behind their lives, what's going on behind the scenes. But, you know, when you fictionalize it, you can kind of make up everything as you go. And so that's sort of how I transitioned from journalism to fiction writing.
And how long have you been doing journalism for?
So I graduated from TMU in 2010. So I've been a working journalist for over 10 years now.
How has your work as being a journalist for the last about 12, 13 years helped you write this book?
Yeah, obviously I want to stay true to facts and what's happening in the world and issues that are important to my characters. Even though it is fiction, I still want it to relate to what is happening in the nail technician world, the beauty industry. They're one of the catalysts that gets the characters to sort of start being concerned about their nail salon is they all read this expose that gets published in the New York Times revealing atrocious labor abuses in nail salons all over New York. And that article really was the talk of the town in the nail salon community. And they all wanted to gather their troops and make sure that their nail salon wasn't in shambles and under a terrible reputation. And that is all stuff that has happened in real life, because even though these characters aren't real, I have heard stories of nail technicians being worried about the reputation of their salon because this New York Times investigation came out, and as helpful as it was in stopping those labor abuses and setting in policies that made sure workers were getting paid and treated fairly, a lot of them were concerned that that investigation marred their reputation and made them look like the bad guys, even though maybe everything was above board and they were following all the laws and all the rules. And so that is based on reality. I think the nail salon community was definitely shaken up when that New York Times investigation came out.
And as you and I know, writing journalistically is a lot different from writing in really any other way. Did you have any trouble transitioning into the, I guess, the more fiction, more novel-based structure and format?
I think the biggest hurdle was that I had such free rein. I feel like it might be even harder to write when you're not restricted by, first of all, a word limit. Well, I guess there's a word limit, but not as much, you know, 80,000 words versus 2,000 word article. You're also restricted by facts, what your sources share with you, and also by what the editor wants to publish. And also sometimes you're also restricted by what's timely and relevant to the audience. And so I think that was a hurdle. I guess it could be a hurdle or it could be a benefit, having such free rein to say and write whatever I wanted was a fun challenge to take on.
And when it comes to, I guess, the writing, was there a section of the book that you found just difficult to write for really any reason? Like maybe you're just having a mental block that day, or how to get transition to a certain plot point you had in your head?
That's a really good question. I'm sure there were many. I mean, it took me 4 years to write this book, and it was not because I was just taking I was a slow writer. It was because I would get to points in the book where I didn't know how to move forward. And so I would just shut my laptop and not touch it for months. And so that would happen a lot. I think I had trouble with the ending. I don't know if we want to do spoilers or anything, but I think I wanted to make sure the ending was deserved. I wanted to make sure all the characters deserved their ending. And I didn't want to just throw a happy ending just because it's a happy ending. But I also didn't want to throw a big shocking surprise ending just for the shock factor. I really wanted to make sure it's something that mimicked real life, especially when it comes to small business. And the fact of the matter is, the story is really about gentrification and hard making that decision, because obviously I have control over the words. I've fallen in love with my characters and I want good things to happen to them in the end. But at the end of the day, I think I decided the right thing to do. I could say there was somewhat of a happy ending. I was able to still weave in a bit of a happy ending by the end there.
When it comes to it, you kind of mentioned that was a bit difficult to give proper endings. Was there a character in particular that you kind of had an issue writing, like writing an ending for, or maybe even just writing that character in general? And just because the book isn't out yet, let's try to, I guess, steer away from spoilers.
I see what you did there. Yeah. There was one character that I loved a lot, but I had to make her do something that would upset the rest of the family. And to some people, it's something that is unforgivable and they could never take her back after what she did. But I really had to make her go in that direction, because I think she was getting to a point where she was just being unheard by the family. She was a bit voiceless. She's a teenager that has been immigrated over from Vietnam, so she doesn't have a lot of say per se. She feels very indebted and grateful to her aunt and uncle for sponsoring her. But at one point she just gets fed up and she does what she wants to do for the first time and not what anyone else wants to do. And I think that was a hard turning point for me, because I had to realistically make sure that the characters mended afterwards in a realistic way and not just have them, you know, kumbaya just for the sake of having a neat, tidy ending.
In your author description, you write about how, or it's written that you are, your family has owned a nail salon. You brought up yourself earlier in this interview, as well as the amount of connections you had with people who do own nail salons. How big is that business within the Vietnamese community?
It's pretty big community. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but there's a billion-dollar industry, and I'm pretty sure the latest stat I heard, in the U.S. at least, the U.S. has a lot more stats and a lot more of a Vietnamese community. About 50% of nail salons in the United States are owned by Vietnamese Americans from the diaspora. And so that's a pretty huge, I think that's a pretty huge number. I think they've, and because the population is so vast, they've heavily influenced the nail salon industry trajectory. I mean, going to a nail salon was something that was saved for the aristocrats, for wealthier individuals. It wasn't something like a regular person could just go in and do unless they had lots of money. But when the Vietnamese community came in, and Toko for nail salons, they were able to democratize the services and bring the prices down a bit lower, make the service go a little bit faster. And so it became a lot more accessible to the average person. And I think that's why you're seeing so many people get their nails done, regardless of their class or their income status. It's become such a crazy booming industry now. And I think that has a lot to do with the Vietnamese community's influence on the nail salon industry.
And that plays into how you portray it in the novel as this idea of this industry being almost, I would say, re-gentrified. So how did you kind of come up with that idea of, I guess, the re-gentrification of the nail salon industry?
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think I wanted to show how big of an influence the Vietnamese community had on the nail salon industry. They're not just workers, the people that are behind the table. They've actually made a vast influence on changing how the nail salon industry looks, the prices that are set, the techniques that are done. I mean, you're seeing a lot more male technicians work at nail salons. And I think that has a lot to do with the Vietnamese community. A lot of Vietnamese men started working at nail salons, and they sort of destigmatized it as just a women's only space. And they started doing nails and not feeling ashamed about being a man working in a women's industry. And sometimes when you go into a nail salon, I know at my parents' nail salon, sometimes they'll ask for my dad. They'll prefer my dad to work on their nails, because he can file faster or buff harder, you know? And I think it's underrated when we say that the Vietnamese community had a huge influence in diversifying what and who nail technicians look like.
As you mentioned now, earlier, and in the book itself, that your family does own a nail salon. So how much of growing up in that environment and your family who are in that, how much of that gets translated into your novel?
It's hard to say. It's a lot. I would say it's a lot, but it's not a verbatim 100% replication of that life. A lot of people like to ask me, is Debbie your mom? Is Phil your dad? And I have to say, no, no, no. They do not go around blackmailing people or causing sabotage the other salons. But the individual experiences there are pretty true. Debbie and Phil really, really love their salon. They'll do anything to save their salon, to keep it from shutting down, to entice customers to come to their salon when business is slow. That's all stuff I've heard in the community. A lot of them are really grateful for this business they've built for themselves, especially because they came to the country with not very many skills. They didn't know English that well. So the fact that they're able to run a business, make a profit, and call the shots is a really monumental win for them. And so I really wanted to, call out that the nail salon is not just a job for Vietnamese immigrants, it's a financial salvation for them. So a lot of that part is true. And of course, the day-to-day work of a nail salon technician is all, you can see all of that in the book. Things like customers who take ages to pick a polish color, or customers who leave terrible reviews on Yelp for your salon, or things like even rent increases and shortage of supplies. Like, that's all stuff that nail technicians deal with that customers might not be privy to, because they just go in, they get their nails all prettied up, and they leave.
Maybe you can point this to any of the readers who are interested in this book, or whoever are listening to this in the future and have read the book. Is there a specific interaction or moment in the book that you can say for certain is based on a real life event?
There is actually a moment. There's a scene where Jessica, the eldest daughter, she talks about how she's at a restaurant and she overhears two women talking about how every time they go to the nail salon, they slip the tip directly in the nail technician's pocket because they don't want the manager to steal their tips. And this, they started doing that after the New York Times article came out revealing that managers take workers' tips. And that has is something that has happened to me. I worked at my parents' nail salon, doing manicures and pedicures. And this one customer, after I was done the service, she handed me a $10 bill and she put it in my pocket. And she sort of whispered to me and said, "This money is for you. Don't let anyone take it." And I was just kind of like, "Oh, okay. I guess that's nice." But then after the fact, I realized what she was doing. She made an assumption that the manager, who was my father and mother, would take the tip from me. And so that is an experience that I have that I put in that book because it does happen. A lot of customers, I think, want to be ethical consumers. But unfortunately, some of them make the dangerous assumption that because the owner is Asian or because the owner looks a certain way, that they must be shady business owners. And so I really wanted to put that in the book.
And when that happened, how did that make you feel?
I think I was just a little bit shocked because she, first of all, she just tucked some money in my pocket and then said goodbye and left. And of course, I was maybe 14, 15, so I was happy to have the tip. I was happy to have it in my pocket. But then when I thought about it, I was like, oh, there was kind of like a seedier meaning and darker meaning behind why she did that. So I felt a little bad accepting it just because I knew the fact that she gave it to me meant that she did not trust my parents.
When it came to the writing process, how long did it take you to write your new debut novel?
It took me 4 years to write the book. And that is not to say I wrote every single day. Like I said earlier, there were a lot of stretches of time where I just had writer's block or I didn't know how to move the story forward. So I've just shut down the manuscript for weeks or months at a time and then come back to it when I felt ready to go back. But also life gets in the way too, work, personal stuff. Yeah, it takes a while to write a book. There are amazing geniuses out there that can churn out a book in a year, but this one took 4 years for me.
In that 4 years, was there a plot point or a scene in the book that when you first started, like, you're like, this is gonna be big, this is gonna be the moment, like, everyone's gonna love this. And then when you got to the 4 year mark, you kind of changed your thoughts on that. You're like, ah, maybe this section isn't as good as I thought it was. Let's just take it out.
That's a good question. Yes, there was a moment where Debbie and Phil's relationship, they're the owners of the salon and their husband and wife, where their relationship gets to a really, I guess it gets to a very tumultuous point where violence ensues, because the salon was not doing so well. They were thousands of dollars in debt. They weren't communicating on the same level. Phil had just went gambling and lost thousands of dollars. And so I had the relationship get to a boiling point where violence was involved. And I decided to take that out. I think that you can show that a marriage is rocky without having to resort to violence. And you fall in love with your character so much that you're like, I don't really want my characters to get hurt in this way. Sometimes as authors, you want to go for a very big dramatic moment for shock value, but I realized that I wanted to tone that down a bit.
With the finishing of this novel, how far would you say your writing skills have progressed from like the beginning of writing this novel to now?
I would hope it got better. You know what, though? It's not the writing skill that has changed for me. I think it's the writing process that has improved a lot for me. I used to hover over my sentences before writing the next sentence. I always wanted to perfect my sentence before I moved on. And that's such a terrible thing to do because if you always did that, you would never finish your draft. I realized that in order to write a book, that first draft, you just need to word vomit everything out of your brain and the actual writing happens in the rewriting. So I always tell writers, like, yes, your first draft is going to be cringy. It's going to be bad. The sentences are not going to be beautiful, but it won't get to be a place of beauty unless it's already there. So the point of the first draft is just to get the words down. And I didn't follow that advice at first. I wanted everything to be perfect from the get-go. And that's probably why it took me 4 years.
And with the release of this book, are you expecting to go on a like book tour?
I'm probably just sticking to Toronto. local events for book tours for now. The book is being published in the US as well, but we don't have plans to do a US tour just yet.
All right, that's actually all of my questions. Do you have any final comments you'd like to leave off on?
No. Thanks so much for asking interesting questions. Yeah, it's nice to think back on the writing process and think about like what I wish I did and didn't do or what changed. So yeah, thanks for allowing me to revisit that process.